Hi, everyone. Just a bit about myself first, so you know why I'm talking about this. I first became involved as a GNOME contributor a few years ago when I participated in the outreach program, and I have since stayed on, and I have mentored a number of interns. I have mentored two through the outreach program, and mentoring another one now, and a few outside the program as well. I've become quite involved in the community, I should think. And now I do quite a lot of work with people who are actually starting to contribute to the community for the first time. And a lot of people I find have very different expectations. Some people come as a user, like as I have. So I have been a user for 6, 7.5 years now, but only started contributing a few years ago. And some people come to it through work. For example, if they are doing an internship with a company and that company is involved in GNOME, they might want for their interns to work with the community to fix some bugs. That happens quite often. So generally, the first time someone comes along, which is exactly what I did as well, and almost everyone does it, is they just find a bug to fix. They somehow fix it. Usually it's a really, really bad patch, and they throw it over the wall at Bugzilla and forget about it. Well, maybe not forget about it in quite that way. Sometimes they will say, come back to it a month later and say, why hasn't this been committed or reviewed? Sometimes the developer, the maintainer, or one of the other developers will review it and commit it. Sometimes they'll just outright reject it without any reasons. And sometimes they'll just fix it up themselves instead of passing it back to the person who actually wrote it. So it varies quite a lot, but that won't actually get you to become part of the community. And it just doesn't work with getting people involved. People see that happen and they just leave because they don't get anything back from it. So the way to actually become part of the community is to talk to the community. I mean, if you don't talk to the person who's doing work for you, then you don't get to know them. You don't understand why maybe they're doing things a certain way, which you're not happy with as a developer. And as the contributor, you might not understand why the developer is trying to get you to do something that you don't think is right. So you really need to talk to people. Both sides need to talk to each other. Usually, just chat in IRC. Everyone's really friendly. There's no harm in just asking questions. And generally, people get really positive responses. There are, we actually have a GNOME Love group, which is, which consists of different, it covers a lot of different aspects. We have people who are willing to mentor anyone who comes along and asks for help. You can go and ask, you can just look at the list of people and you can go up to them and ask, and almost all of them will just say, yeah, sure, I'll help you. I'll guide you through it. So it's definitely worth talking. And actually, the best thing you can do is talk to people at conferences. Even if you're not really part of the community yet, it's still worth going because you can actually meet everyone and you just become really involved when you realize that everyone's awesome. So ask for help, use the resources that are available, and just try to get in there and get people to help you. But you need to actually ask for the help for that to work. And sometimes people might be a little bit blunt when they reply to you, and sometimes they might be very blunt. We have had on occasion bugs where someone's filed a bug, explained why they thought it was a bug, and then someone's come along and said, no, it's not a bug, and left it at that. And that happens, and it's okay. People have lives outside of GNOME. So not everyone actually has time to go through every single bug that gets filed against their project and be really polite about reviewing, explain how everything works in detail, because actually that is very time consuming. I can relate to that because I have on occasion had some people file loads of bugs in one go and attach, say, 20 patches, each of which takes a whole day to review. And let's be honest, I don't have 20 days to review 20 patches because I've got work to do, I've got other projects to contribute that I'm working on, I've got a life outside of this. And it's just not fair to expect maintainers and reviewers to actually be able to deal with that. And I know it's happened to me, I know it's happened to other people in this room. So please don't do that to the maintainers. please don't do that to our reviewers. It's just not very fair on them, and you will actually get really bad results as a new contributor. So try to, like, it's, the first patch is always the most difficult one out of all the patches. So contributors need to try and be considerate towards the reviewers, try to make it easier for the patch to be reviewed, which usually means it's actually easiest to for your first patch to be a really small, concise one. Just a short patch to fix something minor, rather than a very big one which adds a new feature or something like that. And reviewers, be patient with new contributors. Like, we don't always know that someone is who has just filed a patch is a new contributor. It's really difficult to tell. And to be honest, there is no way of knowing unless we actually talk to them. So we should always talk to the contributors and always find out why they're filing these huge patches all of a sudden when we'd never heard of them before. And sometimes it's actually, rather than going back and forth and reviewing something, say for having 20 reviews go through Bugzilla, which is a real pain, just sometimes maybe ask them to try with something smaller and get back to that once they're a bit more experienced. And of course, the new contributors can always make it easier for us to review the patches, and we'd really appreciate that. And the best way to do that is to actually find out how the project works, because different projects prefer different workflows. I'm on the documentation team, and generally we prefer for new contributors to go through Bugzilla, because then anyone on the team can review the work. And we have quite high standards for what we want to go in, because we spent a lot of time getting our project up to a really good quality, and we would like to keep it there. So we don't accept every single patch that comes along. Sometimes we go back and forth with review quite a lot before we're happy with it. And we try to get the person who's contributing to actually perfect it themselves rather than touching up the patch ourselves, even for minor things like indentation. Whereas I know that for some other projects, maintainers will just take a patch and they will fix up things like that themselves. And that varies from project to project quite a lot. For example, while like in GNOME, most of us prefer for patches to go through Bugzilla, sometimes like very small patches are sent through IRC, just in the paste bin, very, very small ones, or by email directly to the maintainer or reviewer, but generally through Bugzilla. On the other hand, there are other projects which have quite a different workflow. For example, for the kernel, all the patches go through a mailing list. And that can be quite scary the first time you do it, because generally it's a completely different way of sending patches in. And if the contributors knows what we expect of them, and if we know what they expect of us, then this whole process is easier. Of course, it does actually help quite a lot, and this is where many new contributors fail slightly, in that they don't test their patches. They don't build, and they don't test whether everything works. So, and it's actually quite cumbersome to explain to someone why, for example, their JH build installation is not working over IRC. It's very, very difficult. And I was recently working with a girl who was trying to use JH build for the first time, and took her 2 weeks to get it into a working state for a very simple application, which for me, built out of the box. It took me 5 minutes to get it built. And for her, it took 2 weeks. And it's actually very difficult to debug that, but it's really worth the effort to, because now that she has it running, she's actually able to document the latest version of the application, what's in master, which means she's not wasting her effort by fixing things which are already fixed. And of course, what also happens quite often is that, like, we'll submit a patch, and then it will sit on Bugzilla maybe for a month or maybe for two, just because the maintainer might be busy, there's no one else to review it, and that also happens. And it's really worth being patient. It really is. But on the other hand, you need to follow up as a new contributor. If you don't, then your patch might just rot, and then it will become obsolete. And that's not really worth it, to be honest. It's a waste of your time as a contributor. It's a waste of the maintainer's time as a maintainer, because probably that means someone else has gone to the effort of already fixing it. So follow up with the reviewer and follow up with the review. But be patient. Don't nag at people. because people really don't like that, and they won't treat you as well if you do that. And of course, as I was saying, it always helps to make good contributions. So make sure your contribution is of a high quality, the best you can do. And maybe you should consider talking to the community before you actually start making a contribution, before you start writing it, because sometimes the developer or the maintainer have very specific ideas about how they want a certain bug fixed, and that might not be compatible with yours. And sometimes there are 10 different ways to fix the same bug. So do go back and actually talk to people. Do discuss how you're going to fix things. And if you're reviewing patches as a maintainer or reviewer, tell them what you expect from the patch. Don't accept, you shouldn't always accept a fix which you're not perfectly happy with. It is actually worth going back and asking people to fix stuff in a different way, because then they realize that what they're doing, you're thinking in a different way from them. And it's normal, it happens. So also, now that you know what the workflow of your project is, because you've actually talked to each other, the contributor knows what the workflow of the project is because they have talked to the maintainer or the reviewer, stick to it. Try to comply with it, because that will make the reviewer's job easier. And that means they will have more time to review your patches, or they will have more time to review someone else's patches. Either way, the project benefits. And once you've started contributing, you've contributed a few times, you get to know what the project is like, you know how to work with it, and you start getting to know the people. And once you know the people, you become part of the community. And if you actually become really involved in the project, you should become a foundation member. That's how it works. As a foundation member, you get a lot of perks. It's pretty good. And you get to vote for the board as well. So this is actually more like what you expect in your normal workflow to be. So you'll find your problem, and instead of filing a patch right away, well, sometimes you will, okay, for simple bugs you might, but actually for the average bug, you might find that your bug is not the bug in the application you think it is in, it might be in something else. And you need to find that, and you need to fix the original bug, because that's the right way to do things. And it's actually, in the long run, better for the whole project if you don't take shortcuts, if you do things properly, if you know who to talk to, and you will actually figure out who to talk to about certain parts of the project. It comes with experience, but that is actually what you should expect in the long term. And here with me today, I've got Sindhu, who is my intern from the previous outreach program for Women Around. She has actually had an experience as a new contributor, which is much more recent than mine. She only started contributing in November last year. So she's going to tell you how she found Gnome.
Thank you, Kat. Hi, I'm Sindhu. I'm a recent outreach program for women intern, and now I'm doing Google Summer of Code internship with Gnome. So I'm going to tell you my experiences with how I started contributing through the documentation team. First, for 8 years, I've used GNOME for 8 years now, and the only question in the back of my head was, how do I start? How do I start, you know? Where's the starting point? Where's the start button? And through my experience, I learned that you have to start with your favorite applications, or make whichever application you're using your favorite. So look for bugs, look for problems in your favorite application. And start small. I couldn't do anything big. The first patch I made was a one-line change in GNOME dictionary documentation. It was just one line, you know. It was very small. But once I did that, I could start taking other steps. And I had to learn a couple of new tools, like Malloc, for writing this help. And I did not know how to. How do I start using all this stuff? I don't remember, or I don't know. And I thought, okay, so I'm going to open up an editor, and I'm going to use Malloc to make a page about myself. Hi, I'm so-and-so. And there. In about 10 to 15 minutes that evening, I learned Malloc. I wrote everything about myself in that page, and I used that tool to make a fun project for that evening. My next step was to read the signboards. And these signboards are wiki pages. You know, you Google up stuff, you go to GNOME Wiki, and you meet real people. And these real people are on IRC's mailing list, chat. So wiki pages are nothing but signboards. They tell you who to talk to, what you can expect from the project, what tasks there are to be completed in the project. These are the signboards you must read, and they're in plain English, so anybody can understand it. Then I asked a question, how can I help? How can I do my part? When I did not know what I can do or how I can start, I just asked one question to everyone, how can I help? There is nothing in the task list or the GNOME Love that fits me, so I asked the person I'm talking to, do you know anything I can do? And he would give me related stuff, so I'd latch on to that and do more things from there. This is my favorite, the last one. Bugzilla's talking your mentors. So I find a bug, and so it's in the procedure of being solved. Someone's asking to do something on the page, and I want to watch it. I want to know how they're going to fix it. I want to watch them fix it. So I CC myself. There is a column that lets you add your email on the bug page, and I follow up how people are doing things. I don't participate. I just follow up. I watch the conversation up till the end. And I learn new things from looking at how other people are working and what is appreciated, what is not appreciated. I learn by observation. So once I start walking, I'm going to start sprinting a little faster. The first step in sprinting is to start talking, to participate, to say that, hey, I'm interested in this, you know, to raise up your hand. And when I mean participate, I look at the bug page, and if there is anything not obvious, not something I don't understand, I'm going to write a comment. But before I post that comment, I'm going to reread it and see if I've asked what I want to know, what answer to the question I want to receive. So I make sure my questions are simple. They're specifically about something. And I read my comments before I post it, and I get the conversation going. The next step that I did when I started contributing was skim through documentation. I have terrible lack of focus, and I got the resources. The resources for a project vary. So if you're looking at documentation, there is GNOME developer project style guide, development project style guide. So it's a little outdated, but it's worth a read. And when you skim through it, you become familiar with many parts that you want to describe in your documentation. And then there is another kind, inline documentation. When I started GNOME Summit of Code, so I was like, how do I start? How do I know what to use? And there is inline code blocks documentation. So these are information about what functions you can use, and they're within a library. So I started reading that. Oh, with this, I can do this. So that's good. Good to know. When I did not know what's going on, or I faced an error, or a syntax error, any kind of error, I'd just simply copy-paste the thing in Google. I'd look it up. I'd look it up in many different ways, many different search queries, because I'm the one who can help myself best, because I know the problem, and it's highly likely that there are other people like me facing the same problem, looking for a solution. So often people assume that they're a unique case. No, that's not true. The problem you're facing, it's very, very likely that someone else has the same problem, and he's posted on mailing lists for it. So if you have a match there, you're good to go. You can fix it yourself. Then another thing I followed was turn the page backwards. I follow examples. I do it by observing stuff. So I have written a user manual for GNOME Dictionary, and some months later I came to know that it wasn't released. So the work I did was not available for packaging for users to see. The user manual was not there. And yay, I'm going to do it myself. How? So I went through the wiki pages. I went through previous release commits. And I just followed the same step-by-step thing. And I ended up doing the GNOME dictionary release by myself. And with help of my mentor, Emmanuel. So yeah, keep your options open. Look at examples. And done is better than perfect. So when I first ran the release thingy with my mentor, Emmanuel, so he said, you know, you could fix this, this, this. There were suggestions back and forth, and it was nice because done is better than perfect. Just put it out there. So they're going to tell you what's wrong, and you can work on it. You can see previous example. You can learn from it. Okay, now that we're good sprinters, let's start running. And how do you run? You do it fast. You iterate faster, fastest. When I submitted patches on bug pages, I made sure that my email was right next to me. I was glancing at it because it's likely your reviewer will give you an instant review or you'll have to ping someone. But whatever it is, keep a watch over your email, and you will be subscribed to the bug mail, so you can communicate when that person is free. So you should wait on the person who's going to give you a review. And if you're going to be fast, you're going to get ahead. And I don't mean submitting substandard patches. I mean catching up on the reviews, you know. Don't let other people wait for you. Try to, as soon as you see it, do it. And learn from your iterations. When I was in the Outreach Program for Women internship, my mentor had to repeatedly say some stuff. And I decided that, you know, since I have a very limited amount of memory, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make checklists so I can run my work against it every time I submit it. And this was a good checklist. So it started with, you know, step by step, file, Git level, and paragraphs level. So when I ran checklists through these different sections, my work was self-reviewed because I can help myself best. And I can learn from examples. I can learn from previous advice. I just need to make a checklist. I'd like to say this quote. The greatest lie we tell ourselves is, I'll remember it. Yeah, it is true. I'll remember it. Boom, it's gone. What am I going to do? Oh, damn, it was right there. So I write everything down. Not necessarily everything, but the work I've done. So because it is useful for others. Somebody else like you is looking for help. And if you write it down, if you fix something, if you failed at something, it helps. It helps that some other person is going through the same thing as you, so you're documenting your learning process. And so you should make wiki pages, checklists, blog posts on what you learned, what you fixed, what you're not able to learn, your problems. It's good to write things down. Now we have started running. We're doing good. And we're going to run long distance. And this is something I've been following for a while now. I'm a big Snoopy person. So I snoop on people on Bugzilla. And there are a few tricks for Bugzilla, people who use Bugzilla for submitting patches. One of them is you follow your mentors. You can watch your mentors' activities so you know what reviews they're giving. You can learn from their comments, and you can see the new bugs being filed. You can watch projects, so you can see new bugs. You can also make bookmarks that you can check for particular keywords. So you're interested in fixing easy GNOME love bugs, bookmark it. You can search for it, and you can bookmark it. You can check it once in a while. There are lots of Bugzilla tricks like that, and I've written a blog post about how you can start off, you know, keeping on top of Bugzilla activity. You can see that at the end, the link is at the end. And you must allow people to help you, okay? So you have to be open, you have to ask them questions in a way that will get you answers you need. So if Kat fixed something for me, she solved something for me, anybody solved something for me, I would ask them, how did you do that? I want to know that, you know? You because you should learn from how they've done it. So So you can teach someone else, you can learn yourself, and the learning process is going on. Next one is dev environment. So be it documentation or coding, you need a way to test what you've written, what you've done. And this can get a little tricky because there are a couple of options, and what option might work for some may not work for everyone else. And I've been told to install JH build for some time. My mentors have been, you know, I hide often when they say use JH build. So it's JH build is good, but it didn't work for me. So I have an alternate method how I do things, how I compile, build, and test. So whatever works for you, look it up and stick to it. Next is do new things. I started with documentation, and I was interested in coding, fixing bugs. And how would I fix bugs, you know? The easiest bugs are string bugs. So ellipses are a bit off, capital letters not there, and, you know, string bugs, things you see on the screen. So I started fixing string bugs. And when I started fixing string bugs, I noticed other bugs, and I read a bit of code. So, you know, it all started making sense. You can fix usability bugs. Some are very easy. And that's when I started getting acquainted more with code, and I eventually made the jump to Google Summer of Code. This is how I made a transition from writing in English, writing documentation in English, to coding in Vala and using libraries. So you should be open to new tasks and you know, do new things. There is already enough instructions out there, so try following it. And when you do it, you succeed at it, write it down. Okay? And that's what happened with the GNOME dictionary release. I followed existing wiki pages, and then I did it, and I wrote it down. So someone else tomorrow, maybe wanting to do a release, can follow the same example and set the ball rolling. I'm just going to hand this over to Kat. Okay.
But basically, the result of that is you have to work with the community. You can't work against the community because the community is like a big river. You can't swim up river on your own. You have to go with the flow. Just go along with it and get people to help you. People are friendly. That's the most important thing to remember. Even if you think your question is stupid or it's been asked 100 times before and you still need the answer, just ask it. Someone will help you. Okay, it'll take a little while sometimes, but hey, can't have everything. And be open to suggestions. People, developers and maintainers, want things done a very specific way, usually. We're quite obsessive people on average, aren't we? So ask us. Ask us how we want it done, and we will help you. We will help you put your patch together, make sure that it actually will be accepted, and it will be accepted then. And you'll be happy, and we'll be happy. But whatever you do, don't be apathetic, because if you don't care about your patch, it will get abandoned. So you have to care about it. You really have to make sure, like, if you believe in something, argue, it's fine. And make sure that you get what you want in some way or other. If that means adapting to the maintainer, sure, why not? But if you want a bug fixed, try to fix it. Just don't give up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions?
So before in the slides, you guys said that it will be good to write good commit messages.
Yeah.
I would like you to explain to new people what a good commit message is.
Most active projects have lots and lots of commits. A good commit message is one where you can look at the list of all commit messages and you can read the title. And from the title, you will know what the commit does. And if you actually look at the detailed commit message, so the description, then you will be able to understand why it is done that way. Because otherwise, like trying to maintain something with commit messages like, say, fixed dialogue, is useless, because any random person who comes and looks at that does not understand what's going on just from that. So give detail, but also be concise and be precise. Use titles, if you commit titles which are short, fit within under 50 characters long. And if you need to give more detail, then add a second paragraph with more detail. If the commit fixes a bug, include the bug number so that people have the reference. And the same goes for Bugzilla. If you fix a bug on Bugzilla, say that it's fixed, link to the commit so people can actually follow it up, so they can look at the commit and they can look at the bug and they realize that they're connected. Because sometimes bugs have very long discussions about why something's fixed a specific way. And it's really, really useful to be able to look at it and figure that out.
This is about the wiki. So I just see that sometimes I don't really know what's happening on the wiki. I know that I can watch pages, but is there a way to get a mail every time there's a change made to the wiki, or is there?
If you subscribe to a page, you should get a diff of any changes that are made to it. And every time there is a change made, which is not trivial, you should get a notification. But yes, our wiki is a bit of a monster to follow.
Okay.
It's actually quite difficult to navigate about it. But talk to the people who are in charge of the team that you're working with. Or actually, just talk to the team, and they will tell you which the important pages are. For example, the documentation team has a landing page, which has all the information on it. But actually, the interesting page to watch is the application help status page, which is hidden away somewhere. And I think same for the design team. They have a number of pages where they do... where you could follow like designs for specific applications, and that could be really handy. So do actually ask the people who are working on it where to find the information if you can't.
No, I was actually looking more for, you know, like your conference, like in Guadec, when we have Hackfest and everything, the page is put up, and I don't know for quite a while that the page is there, but do I follow specific users and see what changes they're making? Does that help?
No, there isn't anything like that at the moment as far as I know.
I just wanted to comment that there is on the wiki, there is wiki.nom.org/recent-changes page that you can get to from like any page. There's like a tab for it, and that's a great way to like watch everybody's activity.
That's actually quite handy because there isn't all that much activity on the wiki, so it's not too difficult to follow it even though if you check it once a week or so.
Hi, Kath. You've been doing an amazing job with the documentation team, which involves, of course, a lot of bugs and patches and commits and all of this, but you've been also contributing to the project in many other different ways. And I'd like to know if the way to start contributing in other ways besides code is similar to this, to what you've presented now, if you have any tips and this kind of thing.
Basically, how you contribute really does depend on the team you're working with, but also you can contribute by, say, coming to Guadec, volunteering, and that's already a contribution. I actually became a foundation member after I helped organize the desktop summit a few years ago. And I think, to be honest, that's just as valuable. And we have lots of translation teams where people can help as well. So there are many, many different ways to get involved. There is actually no canonical way to start contributing. Well, thank you very much for attending. And I hope you have a nice day and enjoy the rest of Guadec.